Let's turn to Revelation 18. Check ourselves, see if we're in fellowship and ready to review the chapter dealing with the USA and prophecy. Makes a great contribution and a great compliment to what we looked at in the Old Testament. Okay? So Revelation 18, 1. The Apostle John, in his captivity on a desolate island called Patmos, you can look at it online if you want to. He was in a work colony. He was an elderly man, obviously, going from the birth of going from the ministry of Christ to almost the dead end of the first century. But they can do what they wanted to us, but it just provided an opportunity for God to put the capstone on the Bible, the book of Revelation, which has been subject to a lot of different interpretations and approaches. It is one book that carries with it a promise of special blessing for those who get it right, and a curse on those that discount it and distort it. That allows for the true, genuine, honest student to make corrections and have insights. Otherwise, none of us would touch it. Because nobody could say, well, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it perfect. Always, when you go through things, you get more insights. Maybe even in some instances, a major redo of something. But the doctrine of the United States and prophecy, clearly for those of you who have heard it over the years and were here for our recent review of chapters 50 and 51, it's unmistakable. Now, of course, you've got to be someone who believes in the Bible. You take it seriously. And you believe that there is a prophetic outline for the future. You have to be premillennial. Second Advent, Millennium, Rapture, all that. You got to have that in place. And then from there, we identify the particular players in the last days. We just looked at one first session. The RCC, the Roman Catholic Church. And when it is finally dismantled, and it'll be done by what you might think the least likely person, but it fits everything else because he will tolerate no other religion. None. Good, bad, or indifferent. He will not tolerate any religion. He proclaims himself at some point, I'm not saying he's doing it on day one, but eventually he'll get to this point and declare himself God, the true Messiah, that's going to save the world. There will be an exact image. We're all from, kind of, I don't know how they make them, artificial intelligence. This technology will be used to create a replica of his person. It's in chapter 13. That will sit in the most holy place of the yet-to-be-built Jewish temple. The first 3.5 years, the Jews will perform the usual Old Testament activities that they did in the temple. They're ready to go on it. They've got everything in place. It's a matter of God giving them the green light. He has a timing for everything. And it isn't because it's frustrating. Nobody frustrates his plan and the timing of his plan on his timeline. Whether it's your personal life or any other aspect, it's all perfectly set up. And the unfolding of these things. And so at least minimally, by the midpoint of the tribulation, he will say, he is God. The audacity. He will declare himself God. He will have the equivalent of God the Father on the Christ side, Lucifer. Satanism is rampant on earth today, out in the open now. And again, you can't account for negative volition. They've got all the evidence. They got the Bible in front of them. This already was foretold. Anybody can point it out to them. And then they got the rapture. Then they got the two witnesses. And you're going to follow this? You're going to follow him? Many will die, apparently. Well, not apparently. Many will die under his rule because they will not take the mark of the beast. You know, and they pick 666. Why do these people keep picking 666 out? They don't believe anything about the Bible. This is all, you know. Why do they keep doing the 666 thing? It's stylized in corporate logos. There's that UN building on the bulletin board. Why'd they build it like that? Go to all that expense and trouble instead of building just a regular building. Why build a building in Strasbourg, France? The second building to the main building that's in Brussels. Why do they build a building that mimics the incomplete Tower of Babel with this strange architecture? They can't escape it, can they? Atheists exist. They don't believe anything. It's all just happened by accident, which is ludicrous. It's beyond ludicrous. But no one questions it. This theoretical science stuff. They just go along with it. And the reason it even exists in the minds of rational men who otherwise don't operate that way in their personal lives, or they wouldn't get anywhere. They couldn't build anything that works. They couldn't succeed in life. But they will believe this. It is because they're God haters. That's why. That's why you got all these goofy religions. That's why you've got all this fake science. It's because they're God haters. And they want to make the Bible look ridiculous. Well, they won't succeed. The truth will prevail. And they'll all be put to shame. In eternal disgrace. That's why we as Christians, as believers on doctrine, have worked our way up out of this swamp called the cosmos. We've all been affected by it, all been inundated with stuff. Some of us wouldn't give up our favorite fetish, Star Wars. No, just couldn't break with that. Well, we did. I presume we're all on board with it, but if you're not, you're not. It's not my problem anymore. I'll just teach it like I teach Rebound. Here it is. Take it or leave it. That's all I can do. If you're struggling with it, it's really quite easy. It's not that hard of a deal. Chronology and getting it right, that's a lot harder than that, in my opinion. A young person can see through this if they're thinking. Now, if you want to be like the crowd, you've had it. You've had it. Do you want to be like the crowd? You see these people out here? No, thank you. All right. Now, in this regard, the book of Revelation is structured in such a way as to present the church age, and it ends with that chapter that deals with the final church, the seventh church of the seven churches. And then everything after that is a portrayal of the trib. And then you'll get down further and get the second, of course, you'll get the second advent, 19, and then you'll get the millennium and the eternal state after that. So it's structured out that way. There's no mention of the church in these chapters because it's in heaven with Christ, the rapture. And the age of Israel resumes with the 70th of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. All right. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. Angels play a big role in the book of Revelation, to say the least. Big role. They keep popping up. They're God's servants. He uses them. He could do it himself. But why? If you've created these entities, use them. Give them something to do. After these things, I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority. Authority derives from God. And he has authority to make this announcement and do what he does in connection with what follows. He has great authority. And earth was illuminated with his glory. What? Just like everything's lit up. That would tend to get your attention. Worldwide illumination. And he cried out with a mighty voice. This means his voice traveled to the ends of the earth. Everywhere there's humans. Everyone gets to hear this. Not just Americans. Everybody. He makes an announcement. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. See, the Bible recognizes that our country is great. It was not a lesser country. It is great. By any estimation of measuring kingdoms and their history and the things that they have done and accomplished, the country is great. Doesn't mean it's morally great, just means it's a great entity. She has become, this didn't happen overnight. She has become, of course, this is at the time, right after the rapture, this announcement transpires. She has become a dwelling place of demons. Demonism cranks up because people are corrupt and it's brought into their lives. And a prison of every unclean spirit. Demons are like, they go for evil. Like flies land on you know what. They do. They are attracted to evil and corrupt people. And they're like in a prison because this is all they consumes the individual low-level demons. A lot of things you're witnessing out there today is direct demon activity. It's not just corrupt people. It's fostered by the demonic side of things. We might be surprised, but we won't be. When we find out, that person, that's the reason they talk and act like that. They're demon-possessed. That's what it is. You know, during the public ministry of Jesus Christ, there are apparently a lot of Jewish Israelis that were demon-possessed. Why is that? They're the chosen people. They got the temple and they got all this going on. Why is there so much demonism going on? Because they're dabbling in the wrong stuff. They're messing around in the wrong things. I always kind of felt that way when I made a few trips in my lifetime to New Orleans. That it wasn't just another city, that there was stuff going on here. Well, there was palm readers and out on the street and ordinary looking people, businessmen and women would come up there and let them read their palms, and they're sitting out there in the open to find out, you know, something about themselves. Not to mention these dark shops where you could buy all this junk paraphernalia. Now, of every unclean spirit, and a prison. So that's the demon. That's the satanic side of demonism and unclean spirits. Another term for demons, unclean spirits. And a prison. Repeat of prison. You know what a prison is. There's different types of prisons. All prisons aren't created equal. But it's a prison you don't leave. You're in it. We're in this prison. And we're subject to seeing how all the crazy inmates are acting. A prison of every unclean and hateful bird. That goes with the spirits. The word hateful adds a new concept. It's detestable, if you prefer. A detestable. There are people in this country, you see them. Some of them are made into celebrities and politicians, and they're running around. They're despicable. They're hateful. And they're classified as a bird that, you know, defecates on everything and is filthy. Unclean bird. In some cases, carrying bird flu. Yeah, birds can be really nasty. And they can be wonderful too. But this is his description. This is coming out of the angel's mouth, remember? That Babylon the Great has become this. If they have any idea who Babylon is, they'll find out. It's the United States of America. It's the other Babylon that we just looked at. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. America has spread its influence everywhere to all the nations. It's like we couldn't stay home and mind our own business. Not that you can't have, you know, export stuff, import stuff, do business. That's fine. The Jews, even in the Old Testament, they weren't prohibited from having economic relations to an extent with another type of the United States, Tyre, T-Y-R-E. The kingdom that was on a rock out of the water. Just like we have with Manhattan. The foundations of what's built on that is solid rock going all the way down. And that was Tyre. They built a kingdom and had ports around as they were big commercial merchants. And on the high seas and so forth. They set up a colony off coast of Africa, Carthage. They were sea peoples. But they had a kingdom on Tyre. They felt they were safe sitting out there in the water. Not far offshore, but enough offshore that getting to the city would have been a problem. But guess who figured out how to do it? They have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. American influence in so many ways has spread so far. American culture, mores, good and bad, spread all over. And the kings of the earth, that would be the rulers of various nations, have committed acts of immorality with her. We've had ties with communist countries. Normalization of relations. Let's go visit Mao. let's take Nixon and Kissinger over there. Visit Mao. Normalization of relations. With a ruler, a communist ruler, who has murdered tens of millions Chinese, his own people. It is said that rulers have killed more of their people than armies on the outside. Statistically, they have a word for it. It's called democide or something like that. They coined it. Statistically. I've told you, Wall Street and the Soviet Union. I think that's the title of the book. It was a two-volume set. It's in our library, I think. I got it. The guy was simply a professor out of Stanford University, and he did a bunch of research and found out that during the heyday of the Soviet thing after World War, before and after World War II and on, that we did business with the Bolsheviks. You know, the Stalins, those types. While Russian people are dying in these gulags. If we were so righteous, we'd be condemning that and say, we're having no business with you. This all needs to be changed. And get Russian people back in power and doing what we're supposed to do, which they now have. It wasn't that way for quite a while, and then we saw the fall of the Soviet Union and the establishment of a on the cosmic level, a righteous Gentile power. Oh, I have objections with some of the things they do. They got relations with Iran up to their ears. Okay. But we have been involved in the kinds of things, exploitation of people's natural resources, because they're easy pushovers. We'll go to Africa and we'll dig out their stuff. Wherever, what do you want to do? We held sway over Japan all these years after World War II, instead of just pulling out and letting them have their own destiny. But that was part of the Rockefeller plan. We never weeded out the bankers. Thomas Jefferson said, I fear bankers more than I do standing armies. I don't have the full quote. I saw two quotes back to back. The other one was Alan Greenspan, head of the Fed. He says, we're responsible to no government agency. Nor will we ever be. So you can just do what you want to, right? You can impoverish the America, or you can put inflation and all the rest of it on the American, backs of the American people with cranking out your money supply. Do what you want to do, and our bought and paid for and corrupt politicians won't do anything about it. They have a mandate to coin money and to oversee it and not put it in the hands of private people. But he's bragging about, we're not responsible to anybody. We just do what we think we need to do. No American Revolution was forthcoming. Henry Ford said, if the American people woke up, and this is clear back, you know, the founder of Ford Motors. He said, if the American people ever realized how our monetary system works, there'd be a revolution tomorrow morning. And who said there's a group of people that are so organized, so undercover, that no businessman that knows about him better say anything up above his breath, or he's going to be in trouble. It is orchestrated undercover, underneath. They figured out they had to infiltrate everything they could, because they can't have people putting out information, exposing them, and trying to set things right. They had to control the medical profession, the pharmaceutical profession, the American educational system, top down. Well, of course. And how do they buy it? Grants, foundations, putting out money with strings attached, and then finally getting their people in place. There are people in the American Historical Society in the beginning rebelled against this. And then there's the other prostitutes. Get a paycheck, write a big book, and not tell you the whole truth. So this country has become this and has spread her propaganda worldwide. We're the leaders and the pushers of so-called outer space stuff. It wasn't Russia, though they've got a fake space program. India does. China does. Even Israel does. We spread this stuff. It all comes back to our doorstep. So many organizations can be named that are involved in this activity. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I think of all the products that I have in my possession that are from overseas, that aren't American. I have American-made stuff, obviously, but are overseas. And so the merchants of the earth have become very wealthy by American wealth and trade, and still ongoing. Why am I sitting here eating bread from Italy? Can't we make bread? It's good. What am I doing eating that? You know? I appreciate it. All this stuff. So what entity fits this bill? All right, we'll pick up with verse 4. In the meantime, we'll get in position to observe the command of the Lord's table.